So what is this in response to? Is this a response to the person who was talking about the images in the church?
Yes, it is.
So if this is a response, I asked you, isn't it important how the hospital you go to looks, what the ambiance is like? Because these things do influence your experience of the hospital. So if your experience of worship is one that is highly Eurocentric and in some ways very false in terms of the images portrayed, won't that have an influence on how people experience their religion?
I am saying I'm not knocking that the church building should be confused with the church. The church would be the people. I'm not getting into too much of backward and forward with the church building, because there's some buildings that they're very aesthetic and all the paraphernalia, and there's another church, a church hall, that is simple. That the emphasis is, and that's not my discussion, ma'am.
Okay.
My discussion primarily is the church, the people. When you go to the hospital, when a person says leave and go to a hospital, a hospital is to be understood as I'm going to a place where care is given. A hospital is this is me now. The people, the doctors, the nurses, and all whoever were in unison together to dispense self-care. I'm going to that hospital. You see what I'm trying to say? I'm going to a group of people that would be hospitable in this regard, would dispense the healthcare,
All right.
You think I've given you a bit of clarity there, or are you still...
I understand what you're saying.
Thank you for having understood. Now, the second one is, persons have been calling your station inundated with call left, right, and center.
Mm-hmm.
The experts calling, the unions calling about this severance and about the labor situation in Barbados.
Dr. Wiggins called earlier,
who's an expert. Some of all the commentators, some of everybody's having a touch on this labor situation in the country. I am satisfied now that it's high time that is an issue. It has to be resolved expeditiously. Everybody on Sundry is touching on it and giving their views for and against and what have you. You see it as one of the most pressing issues today, ma'am?
It is a serious issue. People are losing their jobs, and they need to be able to access what is due to them. And these delays are very problematic. I think Dr. Wiggins raised that these are not just statistics. These are actually people's lives. People need money to do certain things. We had, I think it was one of the first callers who called this morning who spoke about how difficult his situation is, considering that he lost his job. So people will end up running out of their savings. Also, psychologically, it's difficult for people to be out of work for long periods of time. So this is something that needs to be prioritized. But if we look at the other side, certainly the government faces some issues. Somebody who wrote in on the WhatsApp earlier today mentioned the fact that people have been laid off from the civil service as well. So on the one hand, there is this increased demand because obviously we are in an emergency situation with this pandemic. But on the other hand, there's been a contraction in the number of people available to serve the government as well. So how do we manage these two things? How do we train people in time? How much training is actually needed for what goes on in some of the areas in the NIS? These are really important issues that need to be addressed right now. And I am certainly hoping that just as individuals from the Transport Board heard us today, that others will hear as well and respond to some of these pressing issues.
Usually the case is that when personnel from these varying departments hear, they usually come out, or sometimes your colleagues there will try to get them in. So that's usually the norm. People come in and they're asked to come in and give an input or a clarity or whatever. So that's normally what it is. But my closing comment to you, ma'am. My closing comment is this. The world is grappling with the COVID.
Yes,
and
it is.
It's the new norm universally. So so it's no one fix or no easy fix. And COVID is unprecedented in the world as to where do you turn, where do you go? We understand it's an issue. But there's still certain things that has got to be prioritized. And I am saying the livelihood, as Prime Minister Rowley said, that in Trinidad yesterday, he said it's about life and it's about livelihood. So we are not going to detach livelihood from life. It is life primarily and it's livelihood. And all two must go in unison together. And life and livelihood must go together. And the world is at its wit's end. And everybody is trying to strive for a solution. And the better, the quicker, the better. And that's what it is. But people are hurting and people have got concern. And everything in a commercial realm is dollars and cents. Mm-hmm. And real people will afford dollars and cents. And that guy that spoke earlier this morning, the Mason guy, you could hear his tone. You could hear his hurt exuding from him.
Yeah.
Yes, I regard you, ma'am.
All right, thank you very much. And we'll take this opportunity to take a break. This is Down to Brass Tacks.
The Barbados Water Authority wishes to inform customers that due to a technical problem, the processing of water bills for part of August has been delayed. Persons with bill queries can call our customer service department at 434-4292 or email customercare@bwa.gov.bb for assistance and to register for our e-billing. Customers following a payment agreement are reminded to continue paying the agreed sum in addition to their current water charges. Please remember that at this time, water bills can also be paid in person at SurePay, all post offices, and online via the Bank of Nova Scotia, CIBC First Caribbean International Bank, the Royal Bank of Canada, SurePay Online, Republic Bank Barbados Limited, and Barbados Public Workers Cooperative Credit Union Limited's Co-Optima Connect. The authority wishes to thank customers for their patience and understanding.
It's the back-to-school steal of a deal. Starting today, if you buy four pants, you get the fifth for free. Long or short pants in navy, khaki, and gray, while stocks last. And don't forget, if you purchase four plain girl white blouses or boy white, blue, or khaki shirts, you will get the fifth for free. Please note, crests are sold separate. 3 weeks only, people, for the steal of a deal. Come to the UFO factory in Wildy with ample parking. Shop safe today.
Good afternoon. This is Down to Brass Tacks. I am Dr. Christina Hines, and I'm with you until 2 this afternoon. Afternoon. Yes, sir.
Hi, good afternoon, Dr. Hines.
Hello.
Hello.
Yes, go ahead, sir. You're on the air.
Yes, good afternoon. Well, welcome to the Brass Tacks family.
Thank you.
I trust and hope that your stay with us would be a long stay. I trust and hope you are not just passing through, and after we spend the time to train you and to get you perking, that you would duck out and then become our competitors.
Okay, you're training me?
Well, I'm saying we, the Brass Tacks
family.
Oh,
okay, okay.
You're employed by the station, but we, the callers, based on our inputs and so on, that would give you a chance to sharpen your skills. That's all
right.
I'm saying.
Okay.
So I'm saying welcome to the family.
Thank you so much.
Right. Now, secondly, I want to state upfront that I am very thankful to the Transport Board at this point of time for their improving the bus service by the number of buses which they would have imported. As a matter of fact, there was a study done some time ago, and the need of the public, this is before the COVID-19 situation, would have been on average of 150 buses rolling stock. They were down to 30 plus at some point of time. Mm-hmm. And to think that in a very short space of time, they were able to increase the stock to 60 plus, I believe that's commendable. The second thing I want to state, with someone who has a background and a knowledge as it relates to air conditioning and so on, if you have a unit which is on the road as it stands now, and it's a fully air-conditioned unit, it makes more sense to have that unit as a centrally controlled unit by the driver than having a situation where you have windows and stuff that any individual in the bus can open the window and create problems.
All right.
Okay, so I went, that is to me it's a non-issue talking about having individual windows and so on. I would also want to.
And what about if the AC stops working?
I'm saying to you, the system, the way the buses are designed, they have, if you are to the very top of the bus, they have an exhaust system which could actually be incorporated.
Okay. And so, in a hot place like Barbados, you think that is adequate?
It is adequate from the perspective of the way that it is designed.
Okay.
What happens if you have it, if you have air building up in the bus, that air is actually extracted. There's a system to do that.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? So right. I'm saying to you, having individual windows where whoever gets into the bus can be shutting and closing the windows, that would present a greater problem.
Yeah, I understand that. Have you been right. in any of the buses?
I don't need to be in the bus. I am my background is of such that I know the systems and how they function.
Okay. I'm just curious because I haven't been in the buses yet.
Well, I'm letting you know. I'm saying I don't have to drive in the bus because mm-hmm. the engineers, my support system internationally supplies me with the information on all the stuff.
All right.
So I have a very good knowledge of how they function.
Okay.
What is also commendable is that they have taken a situation where, as was explained, normally if you're running the diesel engines, you're talking in excess of $300,000 in fuel alone. That has none to do with the transmissions and the engine, other engine sundries that could go wrong and stuff. So it's a step in the right direction. Yes, the upfront cost, as it stands now with batteries and stuff, would be expensive, but over time, as the systems become more and more used across the globe, you'll find that the cost would come down.
All right.
Okay? But I also want to state that the is she still acting as the acting general manager, Lynette Holder? What her title is, I'm just trying to be sure. Is it acting general manager or general manager?
What are we talking about? The transport board?
Is that
Linda Holder?
Yeah.
Yes.
Is it acting or is her... Okay, anyhow.
I'm not certain, but go ahead.
Right. Well, anyhow, I can find out. I want to state that I am in support of her 1,000% because mm-hmm. she would have gone through tremendous pressure and she hasn't run away from the fire. So I am praying and thanking God that she has stuck to the task. And I'm saying to you that the new minister, who was a tremendous chairman, I am sure when they put their heads together, we would have a better handle on the transport board than we have had previously. And as long as the transport board remain a service to Barbados, we, the taxpayers, would pay what is necessary to keep it running. If it comes a time where they have decided, well, look, the cost is too high, nothing is wrong in privatizing it and just get out of the service. But as it stands now, it is a service being provided to the public.
You don't see any issue with privatizing the transport board?
I don't see any issue once you have a very solid transport authority.
Mm. And
if you manage effectively, you don't have to spend a cent on the transport system. You can manage effectively by implementing all of those systems on the law to support the system.
Including routes that may not be profitable?
But I'm saying you would obviously implement a system, whether now it's going to be a charge per mileage, a transfer cost, whatever, it is manageable. Okay? I'm saying to you there are certain equations that the government would have to continue to handle out of a public purse on a long-term basis. Education, I would say health in particular, water management to some extent. I'm saying those are the ones that I would say long-term government would have to stay with. The mm-hmm. transport system, we have a tremendous number of persons who are in and getting into that system that all the government should do really is, as I said, make sure that they can police the system effectively. Mm-hmm. And that is one of the problems that we have in Barbados across the board. The managerial systems across the board are pretty poor. So we would have to try and implement good, solid managerial systems so that we can deal with the situation. But as I said before, if we are still providing the service, all is asked to them at this time is to give a relatively good account of the funds spent and make sure that they can manage the portfolio as effectively as possible.
Okay.
Right. Now, enough on that. Now, I find it difficult to comprehend how businesses could be running for many years and so on, And they would know that once you complete 2 years with the business, at some point of time, whether you're laid off or you shut down, you would have to provide the severance pay and associated pay to the workers. So I find it difficult to comprehend how all of a sudden you've got businesses that were running 20 years plus, and now every single company seem to be coming to say, well, we can't pay severance and so on. So you mean to tell me you're running businesses, you don't have anything called retained earnings, nothing so that you can foot the bill? I can tell you from my own personal experience where I manage a large international company, and we made in excess of $200 million for the company in about 11 years. And when the company was preparing to close, they were giving me the hogwash about having to apply to national insurance and so on. I took the company to court. I must be one of the few managing directors ever to take the company to court to ensure that the workers got their just due. Okay? Mm-hmm. So I find it difficult to comprehend how at this point of time we, with all the issues that the government has got to deal with and the national insurance has got to deal with, that all of the players, all of them, are coming with well, I call it, I mean, stories, really.
Do you think they're not being truthful?
I don't believe so. And I want to commend the large company. The name wasn't given, but I did my research, and I know the company that would have done what Mohammed Nasser has been preaching for years, which is provide your company have them become shareholders of your company.
The employees
are
shareholders.
Yes, let the employees become shareholders, and you can make a decision that is a win-win situation for the players. So that company, I know it, and like I said, the name wasn't called, so I'm not going to call the name, but that gentleman who is the chairman is a tremendous human being, and I'm telling you, what will happen is the word gets around, and Barbadians are going to get smart, and they're going to spend money with people who treat the workers and treat the people sensibly. That is going to be the case. Okay?
But I wouldn't like to assume that all of the employers who are having difficulties, because this is a really hard time period. I don't think anybody has planned or prepared for COVID-19. It's taken all of us by surprise. And although I'm sure there are businesses and entities that are taking advantage of the situation, many businesses are also struggling and have no idea how they are going to deal with the numbers that they have to send home.
Ma'am, I understand what you're saying, and I respect what you're saying.
Okay.
But I'm saying to you, with someone who would have been involved at the highest level, I am saying to you, the companies that are well managed, they usually have yearly audits, they usually have retained earnings, they usually budget for capital expenditure, the whole nine yards, okay? So I'm saying, yes, I can understand there are some companies who are now in there, say, 3 to 5 years, trying to still not get in the kind of capital and the movement that would be, that they would need in order for them to do the very best. I can understand that. Mm-hmm. But I'm saying well-established companies should not be going to national insurance or the government cap in hand. And I'm saying to you, the hotel industries have been given, they get like 90%+ of nearly every single thing that they need tax-free.
But have you seen that Virgin Atlantic in the UK is also and was also asking for assistance from their government, which is, you know, quite an interesting case to me because this is a wealthy company as far as I know.
Yes,
so
ma'am,
I think but this is nothing that's
like
unusual.
That. Agree. But the point I'm making, I'm saying to you, business companies would do, especially the ones that are well established, they have the leg room that they can maneuver. But I'm saying in as much as that's the case, I'm saying that there should be a case-by-case assessment of all of them who are coming forward to say we need assistance. That's the point I'm making.
Okay,
so have
fair enough.
Have your forensic experts in there, your auditors in there, and you do a point-by-point evaluation. Thirdly, this there's now another crisis which is coming on board as it relates now to the hatchery, the main hatchery, who obviously they're having some problems as it relates to their cash flow, because they would have extended credits to large suppliers and small suppliers. As a matter of fact, I saw figures in the paper where they're carrying credit of $300 up to a tune of $500,000, depending on the size of the customer. Mm-hmm. But what is also happening is that what they have been carrying on their books 30-day credit, and they say that sometimes it is extended now to 60 days and stuff. So I'm saying to you, automatically what's going to happen is that the small guys, the small people in the system, they're going to be devastated when the decisions are taken, because I'm telling you, I have seen it happen before. They're going to be put on CODs, cash on delivery, and if they don't have the cash flow to support that, you're going to have a situation where they're going to be going out of business. So you're going to have another big problem. But again, I have been advising some of the small players through the small business associations to form cooperatives and control your input costs.
So this is chickens we're talking now, right?
We're talking chickens, mm-hmm. Yeah. So I'm saying, if you know that you are in the chicken business, whether you are growing the birds for eggs or layers or broilers, which are the ones that you're going to sell for meat, you now would have to come together and set up your own hatchery, okay? Mm-hmm. Just like your feed. Why keep quarreling about the price of the feed from the only supplier on the island? Who's stopping you from trying to set up your own silos and put in the effort to get all the raw materials and stuff, and have some level of controlling your input costs so that you yourself can control the output costs?
Okay. Okay. So you're saying that people should be more entrepreneurial when it comes
correct.
To.
All that's right. correct. That's correct. Okay. Right. So and finally, I'm saying there's also no farmer.
So we have to go to a break. So, go ahead.
Yeah, I saw a farmer in the paper. Now he is also crying out about not being able to access the bread, the stale breads from one of the bakeries again, because he's using that to keep his feed costs down. But again, we are still buying the pork and all this stuff at $7 and $8 a pound. So you got and again. Again, if you look at it long term, there used to be a time when chicken feet and cages and all that were given away. Now those things are sold.
Right.
So when you're running a business, you have to look at, if you're in it for the long haul, you have to look at all the parameters that will help you to run a successful business. Ma'am, thanks for your giving me the opportunity. I wish you well. I know you will do well, but I'm also saying to you, we're going to have some persons who we're going to call, and their input is going to be negative. They're going to criticize you, so make sure that you can get your shoulders broad. But welcome to the family, and take good care of yourself.
Well, thank you for the welcome. My shoulders are quite broad already, so I hope they don't get too broad. We're going to a break now. This is Down to Brass Tacks. Good afternoon. This is Down to Brass Tacks. I'm Dr. Christina Hines. Let's take a call.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon, sir.
How are you?
I'm fine, thanks. How about you?
I'm not too bad, you know. I just called to put some clarification to the situation over at Warren.
All right.
It is true to say that there were notices or information maybe it was not as regular as we would have expected it to be. And this person who was driving the vehicles in that area the past week would have seen the dots in the road, and the dots identify something. So therefore, if you watch the dots before they were marked last night, the night before, as a matter of fact, you would have realized this is a change coming about. Anyhow, now this change. I heard someone call your program and something that bothered me a bit.
Tell me.
You don't drive only by sight. You drive by the signs. That person said that if you get into the habit of doing a particular thing, then you will come back and do it as if there hasn't been a change. Find out from that person, if he or she left Barbados South, they've never driven in Miami, they've never driven in New York, mm-hmm. they've never driven in Trinidad, When you go to Trinidad, what are you supposed to look for? You look for the road signs, you look for the road markings, and you identify with the traffic situation. Because the government or the ministry did not, or in our opinion, we didn't hear advertised a lot on TV and radio, you see a change, acknowledge the change, and obey the change. I took some pictures this morning, about 5 or 6 times, with people still going into that right section where it is now for going north and turning right to go across Lake Disabled Chicken Barn.
Well, a lot of people, though, because they're accustomed to the roads. So if you travel, that's another thing. You will be looking, since you don't know the roads. But when you're accustomed, you just do what you're accustomed to doing. So
you
for
can't
people...
You can't do you get an accident.
Well,
you see, if you come to... Your gap where you live in, it has a bus. I mean, the stop sign there?
If there's a stop sign.
If there's a stop sign at a junction, you're coming to a junction. Uh-huh. You're accustomed coming there all the time. It's a stop sign. You come there morning and the stop sign isn't there. Are you going to drive straight up?
I am going to stop. But based on what you said, I don't know if there is a change. So you were saying that you have to look for the signs. If I am doing what you said and looking for the signs and I don't see the stop sign, based on that logic, I should keep going. So it has to be more than looking for the signs. It's also a level of knowledge of the roads that people have.
What happening is, ma'am, the road marks so pretty. If you can't see them markings, it's pure BS. Now you should get off the road. The road mark, I might not agree with them, but the turn was a pretty good turn. But we had people still coming from in there, making a right turn, but don't go out. We had people that are doing all sorts of nonsense. They're still doing it now. But if it is now marked differently, you can see it. Make sure you can see that marking anywhere from the top of Sharp Hill.
Okay.
And Sharp Hill is about 2 miles up. Uh-huh. We need to acknowledge the fact that there is a change. Do what the change says.
I'm sure people will have to acknowledge it. It's just that they're surprised.
We're not always going to be in agreement with it. We're not always going to be. But what I'm not saying that a habit is not saying, because if you got a piece of land, like you cut a walk and cross your land to get to my house, unfortunately for you, you got a hell of a time to stop me from doing it. You got to carry me to court. So therefore, I agree with the change that there are changes, and it would be strange to people. And people like to get to point A and point B in a hurry. But don't come and tell me on the radio that the change is something they're accustomed to doing it. It's hard for me to accept it, and they can't see it. You can see it.
Okay.
I'm not saying they can't complain. You understand me?
Yes.
But we listen, traffic lights. Every time you see traffic lights going red, count to 3 before you move here, man.
All right.
3 vehicles coming through. And the red flashing lights, nobody stopping at them. Everybody going through. And it means that it must stop. And then proceed the caution. You have a good day, and I'm glad to have you on board.
All right. Thank you for calling. Good afternoon. This is Down to Brass Tacks. Good afternoon.
Peace be unto you in the name of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ.
Well, thank you for that
Dr.
blessing.
Hines. Now, please give me the opportunity to discuss about 3 points with you. I'm going to make them very, very quick as I listen to them.
All right. Go ahead.
Now, the first one I really want is, I must let you know, I'm a believer in the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And he has left a statement with us saying, if my word abide in you, you're truly my disciple indeed. And I try to hold on to his statements as much as possible so that I could understand myself. Now, I overheard 2 of your callers talking about the images in the church. But I want to remind, I heard you said something, and this is true. I am against all images. I frankly say so. Any kind of image at all. As I can refer to the book of Daniel, where the Nebuchadnezzar built an image and called 3 Hebrew boys, call the people to bow down when they hear the music and worship the image. Today, we still have churches and have people bowing down and genuflecting. I know when I make these statements, I get a lot of calls and abuse and whatnot. But you can't have the Bible saying one thing and you doing another thing and whatnot. So whether it is Nelson, an image in a church, the Honorable Mr. Errol Walton Barrer or anybody, despite how much I would care about them and what their contribution to Barbados was, I still am against images.
So no images at all. We should just have blank every place.
Pardon me?
So we should not have any kind of imagery?
No, we should not. The Bible of it said, thou shalt not make unto thyself any images. Right?
Aren't those images that you are worshipping? I'm not sure that people are worshipping.
It's not a matter. The Bible didn't talk about worshipping. The Bible talk about making.
But what about people that are not following the Bible that live in this country? They might want some images.
If people are not following the Bible, but they're imposing themselves on people who would wish to follow the Bible.
But couldn't we see it the other way around, too? That people who are following the Bible are imposing their wishes on those who aren't?
No, because I do not speak of myself. Okay. I don't speak of who I am.
Uh-huh.
I speak on the behalf of what I read in the Bible.
Okay.
Because as we claim that Barbados is a Christian community.
Some people say that, yes.
You understand what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. So what I'm trying to say is that let's face the Bible with what is written, what not what you're told to do. And that is why I stand by.
Okay.
So I
don't fully agree. I think it's important for us to have some images, especially images that are positive and uplifting to people. I don't think we should be worshiping any of them. So whether it is a statue of one of our national heroes or anyone else, these are not there for worship, but they are there for certain other reasons so that people have a sense of self and...
I respect your view.
Okay.
Right? I respect your view. But then only speaking on the behalf of those people who would want to read the Bible and stand by what is written in the Bible.
Mm-hmm.
I could understand your view, and I respect it.
Okay.
Right? The next thing I want to talk about is the buses. Now, I live on a route where we have three established routes going to Friendly Transport Board, which is the airport, St. Lawrence Castle, Spikestown, and whatnot. Now, sometimes those, and then we have the minibus, the big yellow bus, and the other PSVs.
Okay.
Now, if you're at the bus stop, say that, and you know these PSVs and, the yellow buses, like the cutout, the transport board bus, try to get everybody fighting for the dollar.
Mm-hmm.
And the fact is, when the bus comes down the road, now you don't want that bus, because the bus, spike down bus, like, I know you don't want spike down bus. Or you don't want, you get where I'm coming from?
Yeah,
so when the bus comes down the road, I am of the view, every sense, that all transport board buses, as long as that there are people at the bus stop, even if there's another bus parked there, should pause, as Mrs. Holder has said, pause at the bus stop, so that because you might not want that bus, but you might want the bus coming behind. And therefore, you, as a disabled person, will really be able to get the bus you want.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the next thing I will say is that I do believe that all disabled persons, because I speak on the behalf of disability.
Yes.
And I believe that all disabled persons, when they're leaving home, they should have, especially the blind community, of which I am a member.
Yes.
And also I'm incapacitated.
Okay.
Now, that when they leave home, they should be carrying some kind of significant armband or something that somebody could recognize that this is a person with disability.
All right.
And rather than the person at the bus stop, the disabled person at the bus stop looking for the bus or something like that, they will be able to be seen by the driver of the vehicle. You understand the point I'm making?
I do.
That the driver of the vehicle would recognize that here is a disabled person at the bus stop.
Mm-hmm.
So I do believe that in all the things that should be recommend is that regards to what kind of disability you have, as long as you're a disability, I don't see nothing wrong with just wearing some reflected armband. You know, I am not an authority to make that recommendation, but I'm saying that it should happen.
Okay.
And if it has happened and become, you know, that everybody is aware of it, they will be able to say, well, this is a disabled person at the bus stop. And,
okay.
And you know, try to give the person as much assistance as possible. Now, the next thing I want...
We're going to have to go to a break, so you have to give me this one really quickly.
Can't stay along on it. The fact is that I heard people talking about the roads down Warren and Green Hill and all of that. The last prime minister before the DLP government, Mr. Owen Arthur, said that he was going to build some flyovers.
Yes.
What happened is that I went to Trinidad, I went to other countries, and I see flyovers. What happened at Barbados, which is just a small country, 166 square miles.
Yeah.
Why can't we have in those trouble places like Warren, especially over by Bustle and Tagalafi Silver's roundabout? Why can't we have at least three overhead where we could ease the traffic problem and solve a lot of these problems that we are having?
That's a big question. That's a big question, and flyovers are very expensive. I think that would require a lot of thought and technical know-how, engineering know-how. But this is an interesting suggestion, and I liked your suggestion as well about what people can do to help themselves. I think we can't mandate that people wear anything in particular to identify that they have a disability, but it's an option that they can exercise to make their lives easier. But thank you for the call. We have to go to a break. This is Down to Brass Tacks. Good afternoon. This is Down to Brass Tacks. I'm Christina Hines. Welcome.
Hello, good afternoon. Welcome. Hope that you remain the way you are.
How is that?
I am calling about the credits of the traffic lights at Westmoreland.
All right, go ahead.
Right. I'm always about people's safety.
Mm-hmm.
To me, that's very important. With these lights, the dangers that were posed before have now been eliminated.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Roundabout, you need to acquire land and all of that. And then there are a lot of people who don't use the roundabouts properly. And I must tell drivers this, all drivers, at some point in your life, you become a pedestrian.
Mm-hmm.
You're not always a driver. With the lights, when those lights are red, everybody got to say stop. When the pedestrian push the button for him or her to cross, all vehicles have to come to a stop. It's all about people's safety. I am one of the persons who rigorously called for traffic lights at that junction. I had also attended the last town hall meeting, and it was agreed that lights would be put there. It's just like windows in the house. A lot of people look at the style of the windows, how attractive and how good they look. But can you exit those windows if there's an emergency?
Mm.
I like a window that I can just pass open and jump through. Even what I want bars, I see that from planning need to look at another way that instead of having these bars embedded in the wall with no possibility of your exiting, those bars should be designed not even to accommodate a lot that you can easily open in from the inside, but whoever wants to get out will not be able, won't have access to do what you're doing. It's all about safety. What I realize about this everything, people want to zoom up and down on the highway before any regard to people on the side roads. And what those lights have done is eliminated all of that. They are there, and they're going to stay there. Have
okay.
a nice day.
Thank you. We have to balance safety with the speed of getting from point A to B, I believe the caller is saying. I think we're just about out of time. And thank you for welcoming me to Down to Brass Tacks today. I am Dr. Christina Hines. Have a wonderful weekend, everyone.